A legal fight is brewing over President Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandates. He introduced them last week at the White House. In a nutshell, federal employees, federal contractors, and healthcare workers at facilities that get federal funding must get vaccinated. The most controversial part of the mandates affects private sector employees under the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. If you work for a business that has at least 100 employees, you have to be vaccinated or be tested for the virus every week. Altogether, the mandates would affect as many as 100 million Americans. Here's President Biden talking about the new mandates.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love. My job as president is to protect all Americans.
Conservatives, business groups, and some labor unions say the mandates go too far. Republican governors are telling the Biden administration, see you in court. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the federal vaccine mandates? A good idea, or do you think it's an overreach? If you're covered by these orders and have not yet been vaccinated, how do you feel about being forced possibly, or at least nudged very strongly to take action? What questions do you have about Biden's plan or mandatory vaccinations? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. James Hodge is the Peter Kiewit Foundation Professor of Law at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law and Director of the Center for Public Health Law and Policy at Arizona State University. His areas of expertise include public and global health law, ethics, and human rights. James, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, always a pleasure. Glad to join you.
There are a few different moving pieces here, James. Big picture, what are your thoughts on this order from the president?
Well, my thoughts are really quite clear. The president, as per his speech, made it very clear to all Americans, we're losing patience and we're losing in the battle over COVID-19. And I think what he basically means by that is, listen, it's time to consider all options that are legally valid and public health efficacious to basically bring the COVID pandemic to its knees, because what and how it's escalated over the last several weeks and months has been obviously concerning to a lot of Americans. These vaccine mandates are structured within the realm of what the federal government can do and provide a very new impetus for how many Americans may actually go forward to get vaccinated, if but just to keep their jobs or not have to be tested constantly.
I want to look at the legality of the different parts of this, starting first of all with the federal workers and companies that receive federal money, contractors, healthcare agencies that take Medicare or Medicaid. Could you talk about the legality and the possible successive legal challenges from those individuals or organizations?
Sure. Let's start with those groups, because here the legality is almost unquestioned. And let's be serious and honest why. The federal government does control its own employees in relation to standards and policies it sets. And if you want to do business with the federal government directly, it can set mandates or various different measures that are almost conditions of doing business, like federal contractors would have to adhere to. So the legality of that is very similar to a state that might issue a similar mandate for its employees or local government. Now, with that said, it does not necessarily mean there won't be legal challenges from unions or other entities representing federal workers or other contractors that see this as going overbroad in relation to what and how they need to be vaccinated to provide safe and efficacious service to the federal government. But at this point in time, the safe bet is that the feds will definitely be able to instill that sort of vaccine mandate on its own employees and contractors.
Then there's the private employers with 100 or more employees, not necessarily with a federal contract here, saying via OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, saying basically, hey, we can tell you got to wear hard hats at a construction site. We can tell you for worker safety, you have to have vaccinations. How solid is the legal ground there?
That's a really great question, Rob, because it does feel and look a lot different. We're not talking about somebody that's doing federal work here or connected to the federal government. It's any employer at any place that has 100 or more employees in the United States. Now, listen, the federal government's capacity to reach those employers directly through regulation is well set. The OSHA Act that we're referring to here in 1970 was grounded in Interstate Commerce Authority. The feds have solely. And OSHA is there to create something which we all agreed a long time ago from a policy perspective is essential. Create safe and effective workplaces. That means vaccinated workplaces, or at least ones in which we know persons who have active cases of COVID have been tested and don't present real risks. The question it really underlies Did the federal government with this forthcoming OSHA rule set the right standards? Is that the right cutoff at 100 employees? It could go smaller. It could go to smaller employees as well. The cutoff, the essence of how far the OSHA Act may allow OSHA to intervene, these will be significant questions, and they will arise in regards to legal challenges. I still say your safe bet is that OSHA can go forward on these because creating safe and effective workplaces is exactly what they do.
James Hodge is with us from Arizona State University, looking at President Biden's vaccine mandates announced last week. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. Before we bring on our callers, I want to give a listen to South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem responding on Fox News to Biden's announcement last week. Here's a listen.
This is not a power that is delegated to the federal government. This is a power for states to decide. In South Dakota, we're going to be free, and we're going to make sure that we don't overstep our authority. So we will take action. My legal team is already working, and we will defend and protect our people from this unlawful mandate.
Governor Noem, not alone among Republican governors around the country saying they're going to challenge this. What do you think, James?
Well, those challenges may be forthcoming in places like Florida, Texas, South Dakota, here in my home state of Arizona, for sure. But let's be also clear about one other thing here. The federal government's capacity here on things that are classified and clearly constitute threats to national security, like a pandemic that will not stop in its tracks and lingers on for 18 months, it's dominant, it's supreme, and it's not there to suggest that the state or that the feds are displacing states' powers. They are addressing through Interstate Commerce Authority what the feds have been assigned to constitutionally. It doesn't mean that the governor in South Dakota or other states won't have interesting challenges ahead, but the scheme or the way in which this works constitutionally is, so long as the feds have jurisdiction to issue this type of OSHA regulation, that regulation will preempt contrary state policies, including any particular measures that the governors may raise directly.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Mark starting us off in Hartford. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think that having a mandate is excellent, and I hope in small ways that it goes further. I believe in universal health care, and I think...
Mark's breaking up there. Sounds like he likes the idea and would be willing to extend it maybe to other health measures. James, do you see this as being something that might be expanded, or is it something that might be reserved, this kind of mandate, for an ongoing pandemic like this?
Yeah, it's a good point. I like Mark's disposition on that. And I like it solely because what the circumstances that belie this vaccine mandate cannot be, you know, circumvented or discounted. We're in a public health emergency. We've been there for 18 months. And it continues to this day. It's unfortunately become a public health emergency perpetuated by unvaccinated Americans. Now, the vaccines have been proven safe. They are one of which has been fully authorized or fully approved by FDA, the Pfizer vaccine, other approvals forthcoming. We're at that juncture where you would typically see in a public health emergency with national security interests, federal government taking these sorts of measures. So I do agree with Mark there. Is it a precursor for other more heavy-handed federal interventions outside of future public health emergencies? No, I would not necessarily suggest that yet. This is a federal entity or federal government acting pursuant to a public health emergency, and it obviously takes steps distinct from what it would do in routine events.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Jim now in Dubuque. Jim, hi.
Hi. I don't know that it's legal to mandate a experimental vaccine. The drug that was approved was called Comirnaty, and my understanding is that it is not available in this country. There's no indication of when it might be. Another wrinkle on this is that if something is approved, then using things under an emergency authorization is not appropriate. So if it was, they'd have to pull off the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson products. But it seems like it was kind of a switcheroo. They said they approved the Pfizer thing, but what was actually approved was the Comirnaty or whatever it's pronounced.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. That is the brand name that's being given to the already existing Pfizer vaccine, as I understand it, James. But that difference between the emergency use authorization for the vaccines and now there's one that does have full authorization, the Pfizer vaccine, under that new brand name. Was that a game changer in the idea of mandates?
It's a great point. And Jim makes it on the premise that these vaccines have been experimental. That's not the case. If they were to receive emergency use authorization through FDA. They exceeded a lot of standards to which FDA already assesses them being safe and efficacious. But I do like the point. And the point is, if this Pfizer vaccine is known under the new brand name, if it has been fully approved, does that sort of raise the level of what the federal government can now expect Americans to sort of buy into? Because we're talking about a fully approved FDA intervention. And yeah, in some ways, it has been a catalyst. I think President Biden and his team were waiting for that type of approval. They got it. They've moved aggressively on some of these critical steps. They're requiring all healthcare workers across the country that do any business with Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to get vaccinated. And the catalyst for it was, we know we now have a fully approved vaccine. No one can classify it as experimental. They couldn't do that for emergency use authorization vaccines either. But it's a nice point of contentiousness, somewhat resolved.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking about the federal COVID vaccine mandates that President Biden announced last week. James Hodge stays with us, law professor at Arizona State University, director there of the Center for Public Health Law and Policy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to these vaccine mandates from the Biden administration? Do you like them, not like them, a little of both? What concerns do you have? And what questions do you have for our guest about how these mandates work, their legality? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're breaking down President Biden's federal COVID-19 vaccine mandates. They'd affect as many as 100 million Americans, including certain private sector employees who would have to either get the shots or be tested weekly. Healthcare workers and federal contractors would have to be fully vaccinated as well. James Hodge is with us, professor of law at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law at Arizona State University. And you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions, your thoughts, your questions. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, James, I want to ask about enforcement. We could say this is an OSHA regulation. OSHA is an agency, I think, that's notoriously spread thin with limited staff trying to enforce lots and lots of workplace safety regulations. Can they really enforce this regulation?
Good point. And it's a concern. I think it's a good reason why President Biden's given OSHA plenty of time to develop this rule forthcoming. We have not seen the rule yet. We know what the scope will be, but we don't know all the sort of different facets to it. Enforcement will be a critical component. Now, one of the things that OSHA can, of course, do is use any of its enforcement mechanisms as what we might sometimes call a poster case. You know, go after a big employer and hit them with a fine that's consistent with OSHA's act and the specific measures. And that's enough often, Rob, to incentivize a lot of other employers to go ahead and do what they need to do to meet this specific new rule. But the other thing, of course, as well, is to recognize the OSHA standard will become something of a standard of care. In other words, neatly stated, if your employment setting with 100-plus employees does not feature or does not incorporate this vaccine mandate in the weeks to come, that potential for COVID to spread within your workplace could become its own liability event, irrespective of what OSHA may do about it. It's what private liability issues may arise around it. So consequently, there's a two-part enforcement scheme to it, one of which OSHA enforces, another which may just arise because of private liability for employers that just don't want to meet it.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Chad is with us in Duluth. Chad, hi.
Hi. I just had kind of a comment and a question here. I'm totally against the mandate. I think it's totally against our rights and our personal freedoms. I feel that there's no long-term data. There can't be. It hasn't been out long enough. And the legal protection, correct me if I'm wrong, the pharmaceutical company making the vaccines is protected legally for something does go wrong. If there is something wrong with it, if someone does get hurt, they can't sue them. And, you know, what happens if 5 years down the road, it's found out that, you know, this causes some kind of harm, some kind of damage, something where people are, it's not safe, but they just don't know yet.
Chad, thanks a lot for the call. Do you have thoughts on that, James?
Sure. Chad, let's confirm a very good point you made, and that is pursuant to what's called the Federal PrEP Act. Yes, those companies like Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson that manufacture these vaccines classified as medical countermeasures by the federal government are not to be held directly liable for any specific instance that relates to negligent or in claims. Now, if they produce a known vaccine that's harmful and damaging. Of course, they'd be liable under those circumstances. We have a federal pool of resources, however, for anybody that may be hurt directly by the administration of the vaccine. And that pool of resources is a separate federal fund set up through the PREP Act as well. Now, you make the point, though, an interesting one about what we don't know about the vaccine. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what impacts might it have? Let's clear the record on two things, and then let's be conscientious of what FDA continues to monitor for in conjunction with its requirements set to Pfizer and others. First thing to clarify, this vaccine is not new technology. We've had this technology in place for years. We simply applied it to the COVID strain that you're seeing now. So we know a lot of the properties of this vaccine, proven safe in other settings. Second issue as well, anytime you're looking at a situation involving a pandemic that's killed 640,000 Americans to date with the potential for several hundred thousand more, you've got to balance those risks against any unknown or unforeseen risks that may arise from a otherwise known safe and efficacious vaccine. That's what FDA's got to do on a daily basis. And it monitors for the safety of those vaccines on a daily basis as well, in conjunction with Pfizer and the manufacturers. So we're watching for it closely. We've had these vaccines out there for months. No known, you know, major issues. There's been a few little concerns. That's what you've got to balance at all times in the throes of an emergency of this caliber. And that's what FDA is doing.
Chad, thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Talking to law professor James Hodge from Arizona State University about the vaccine mandates from the Biden administration. Back to your calls now with Daniel in Cornell. Daniel, hi.
Hey, this is Dan from Cornell, Wisconsin. I'm just calling to say I'm a small business owner. I spent 26 years in the military myself, and I've been forced to get a lot of shots in the military. I mean, everything from anthrax to who knows. And I've suffered from a lot of side effects, you know, from these shots. And now, you know, if they're making it mandatory that all, you know, Americans start to get these shots, where are we going to start drawing this line for our freedoms? What else is the government going to force us to take? I mean, are they going to put trackers in us, curfews at night? What else? That's, you know, a quick down and dirty for me.
Daniel, thanks for the call. Daniel, worried about a slippery slope, mandating that many Americans get the shot, not all at this point. He worries that that opens the door to future abuses, James.
Interesting point. And I'm, you know, first of all, I applaud Dan for his military service and whatever he experienced in relation to military vaccination policies, which are quite distinct from, you know, sort of routine vaccine policies affecting Americans in civil life. But to be sure, the military is subjected to the same sort of COVID vaccine mandate that you're seeing now applied to certain employees in certain sectors. So to that end, I think one of the most important observations we can make in relation to how you think this stuff through in real time is to recognize a slippery slope always exists. But we have so many protections in place to make sure with at least this particular type of mandate, that's not going to be an issue. Let me give you just a couple. And Dan, I fully agree with you. You want to always kind of think this through and make good judgments based on what you're seeing. But here's what I'm seeing. First of all, we are in a formal declared state of emergency, as President Biden issues or has made clear. Emergencies end. And as soon as this pandemic's in our rearview mirror, so goes the COVID mandate, COVID vaccine mandate affecting employers too. So let's be conscientious. This is a temporary emergency measure. And the second thing I think it's really worth noting is, listen, I've heard it so often, and I'm very conscientious of it, as you are, Dan, as well. How much, you know, how much more can you absorb in relation to infringements of your personal freedoms and liberties extending from federal government interventions of this nature? You know, constitutionally, and I'm referring here to the broadest way in which to think of and conceptualize those freedoms and liberties, they never included, ever, the freedom or liberty to, you know, infect others with conditions. They never included that. That was always from the sort of basic fundamentals of constitutional parlance. Your freedoms and liberties stop where you pose risk to others. And that's what President Biden's trying to do, is actually enhance liberty by giving us all a chance to get back to normal societal life with all of the economic benefits without running the risk of spreading COVID-19, which is killing too many hundreds of thousands of Americans.
Dan, thanks a lot for calling in. I want to bring up one other group that might well sue, and that's businesses. We got a statement our reporter Corey Hess from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, quoting, "We believe this order places undue burdens on businesses who have already gone to great lengths and expense to protect the health and safety of their employees. Employers should not be forced by government to police their employees' vaccination status, which is what this expected rule would do." Your thoughts, and just our last minute, James, on how businesses might react.
Yeah, I'm with that too, Rob. It's a concern. Businesses could align and run up against this OSHA rule forthcoming, and that would be problematic on that same issue with enforcement. Let's remind businesses, though, the fastest way back to normal routine business that allows you to reconvene your employees is COVID vaccine, uniformly applied to any fit character, any fit employee who can receive it without any known direct harms to them directly. With that in mind, I think once they see that that benefit arises from this specific vaccine mandate, I actually think employers will be more on board with it than maybe voicing presently.
James, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you for having me, Rob.
That's James Hodge, professor of law at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law and director of the Center for Public Health Law and Policy at Arizona State University. He joined us today for a look at President Biden's federal COVID vaccine mandates and plans by Republican governors and others to fight them in the U.S. court system. Still time for you to share your thoughts. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR. You can do that anytime. That's at Central Time WPR on Twitter. Or you can email ideas@WPR. And you can let us know ideas@WPR.org and let us know what you think, what you're expecting to see at your own workplace. Again, email ideas@WPR.org.